Winter has come. Tonight was the big Winter is Coming edition of AEW Dynamite for Wednesday, December 15, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster. I said, would they have the guts to do it? Remember, we were talking about this on the stream, and I floated the idea. I said, there really is no good outcome to this match as far as a decisive winner. Hangman Page, first AEW title defense. You don't really want to have him lose. Bryan Danielson, undefeated so far. You know, he could suffer a loss. Not ideal, though, if you beat him tonight. What do you do? Would they have the guts to go 60 minutes? That's what I said. Would they have the guts? We've already seen a 30-minute draw on TV. 30 minutes is very different from 60 minutes. Would they have the guts to give us a 60-minute draw in this battle here for the AEW Championship? And that's exactly what they did tonight. We got our first 60-minute time limit draw here on TNT for the AEW World title and our big feature attraction tonight. What we witnessed tonight was a late contender for Match of the Year. We only have 2 weeks left here in 2021. I'm already putting together my list of the top 15 matches of 2021. We're going to be doing a big feature here on the show very soon. And what they gave us tonight was a late entry, I think, into that category. I think it definitely deserves consideration. One of the greatest matches in AEW history, and there have been quite a few great matches. This one is added to the list tonight. Where it places on that list, that's up to you. But I definitely think that it is certainly up for consideration. A tremendous match. My only critique, my only hope, is that it didn't happen. They didn't do a finish like this 3 months after doing one with Bryan Danielson against Kenny Omega. Back in New York when they had their non-title 30-minute match that went to a draw. We already had that 3 months ago. So to follow that up with another Danielson draw three months later, not ideal. I don't know that I would have done another one so soon after that one, but it does not take away from the match that these two had here tonight. A tremendous battle. As far as the rest of the show is concerned, I thought the show was pretty good. I mean, Hikaru Shida and Serena Deeb, I think, are incapable of having a bad match. I did think that this was the weakest of the three matches they've had, and it was still a very good match. So these women go out there, they work well together, they know how to crank out good matches. Tonight was another entry in their trilogy. I think they've only had the three matches, and tonight we had part three. Wardlow was doing Wardlow things. Wardlow matches don't last very long. So that match was just sort of there. We never even saw Wardlow again. MJF came out. MJF had the main event tonight. They gave the main event slot to MJF, who apparently, and I'll talk about this a little bit later on, has quite a bit of interest from WWE, which is sort of the most obvious story of the year. I'm not even sure why this is necessarily major news. I don't see it as major news. I think it was kind of obvious that somebody like MJF was going to command interest from WWE, but apparently this goes beyond WWE. And the networks that currently air WWE television. None of this matters, of course, because MJF is under contract for another couple of years to AEW. But it's still very interesting, and we will talk about that in a little bit. But we never did see Wardlow again. We did see, however, MJF and Dante Martin for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Would they actually have MJF go out there and win the ring for the third straight year? I didn't think they would. I guess we'll have to wait and see. If you missed the show, shame on you. It was a very good show overall. I had fun watching the show tonight, and I hope you have fun watching the stream. We're all going to hang out here. I'm going to go through the entire show. Do hit that like button. Super chats are open. I'm going to be reading your messages, and we'll hang out a little bit later on at the end of the stream. And everybody who super chats, I do thank you in advance for your support, not just tonight, but all year. We've had an incredible year here on the channel, and as we wind down 2021, none of that would have been possible without you. So I say thank you. But they didn't mess around tonight. They didn't waste any time. They opened the show with the AEW World Championship match, the feature main event of the evening. Hangman Adam Page one-on-one against the American Dragon Bryan Danielson. 60-minute time limit. Thank God, you know, as Ric Flair said, Triple H made Bryan Danielson at WrestleMania 30. In New York. Of course, it wasn't in New York. I think Flair was thinking of 31, which was in New Jersey, but WWE treats New Jersey like it's New York anyway. But according to Ric Flair, Were it not for Triple H making Bryan Danielson, this match tonight might not be possible. Hell, he might not have even commanded that big fat contract that he signed with Tony Khan. So we should all be thanking Triple H for making this match possible tonight. So these two guys step into the ring for what you had to assume coming into this was going to be a lengthy match. Would it go the full 60 minutes? Would it go 30 minutes? Would it go somewhere in the middle? That we didn't know. But we knew probably coming into this match that it was going to go long. And yes, by the way, EJ, I did mean 29. Thank you. I had 31 on the brain. 31 was California. I meant 29. Thank you. I knew it was on either side of WrestleMania 30. I got the side wrong. I should have known that because I was at that show. But thank you for the correction. So these two guys get in the ring. We get chain wrestling to start. And Dan Leopold, welcome to Dan Leopold and Rodimus Prime. Thank you for that $25 Hardy Monster Super Chat. I got them positioned right below me this time. We got some chain wrestling to start. And Danielson, he would stop. He would go to the corner. He would duck his head through the ropes just to back off Hangman, try to frustrate him a little bit. He'd go into the corner, he would start doing jumping jacks. I might have to start doing that in the middle of my streams here. I'll just randomly break out into some jumping jacks here on the air. So Danielson got the Romero special, the surfboard, into a dragon sleeper, let go of the hold, and the two guys got into a chop fest before Danielson started targeting the leg. You could tell as they went through all of these moves, and as they went through all of these sequences, just the pacing of the match should have been a dead giveaway. They were going to go the full Monty. They were going to go the full Broadway here in this match. You could tell just by the way the first 5-10 minutes of the match was going. If you've watched any 60-minute Iron Man match, most of them, maybe not all, most of them follow the same basic pattern. You pay attention to the pace. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to run yourself out in the first 10 minutes of the match and gas out. They take their time. They stall a little bit. Hey, James Cooper, thank you for becoming a Sound Off legend, brother. I appreciate that. So Page got knocked to the floor, and when he went for a buckshot lariat attempt early in the match, he got knocked to the floor. Danielson teased a suicide dive. Hangman, though, came back in, booted him right in the face as he came off the ropes. And Hangman went for a diving lariat. Bryan cut him off with a kick in midair, and Danielson hit a diving knee off the top rope to the back of the head. Hangman was draped over the middle rope, knee right to the back of the head. And we headed into the first picture-in-picture break. This would become part of the story of this match. Now, I know many of you do not watch this show on TNT. Many of you watch this show internationally. You watch it on Fight TV. And to my understanding, if you were watching Dynamite each week on Fight TV, you don't have to deal with the commercial breaks. So you may have no idea what I'm talking about when I start getting into the various breaks here in this match, because you probably didn't have to sit through it, but we did. And it did affect the pacing of the match, unfortunately. But such is the case when you do a long match like this on TV. It's unavoidable, but it's one of the reasons why doing an Iron Man match on TV just doesn't really work as well as doing it on pay-per-view. Danielson had control through the break. He broke out with a huge back suplex, connected with a fall-away slam. Danielson, or Hangman did, rather. Danielson got crotched in the middle of the top rope. He went for something, and Hangman kind of propelled him into the air, and instead of landing on his feet, he got crotched. He got crotched right in his little dragons. So he's sitting on the top rope. And Hangman hits a diving, he kind of hits the middle rope and then hits a diving lariat that sent Danielson, fell right on his head. And he rolled out to the floor to buy himself a few seconds. Hangman followed that with a suicide dive out onto Danielson, knocked him backwards into the barricade. And he followed that up with an Orihara moonsault to the floor. Always scares me when I see him do that move. I just feel like he's going to come down one day and he's going to roll his ankle, he's going to snap his leg. But he gets good rotation on it. He at least connects better with it than Charlotte Flair usually does. That's the best compliment I can pay him. Back inside, Paige hits a Death Valley driver. Hangman goes for another moonsault. This one inside the ring. But there was no water in the pool. And he does a belly flop. Nobody's home. He lands on the mat. Danielson executes a La Mahistral cradle. Gets a near fall out of it. He tried for the LaBelle lock. Hangman avoided it. He fought it tooth and nail, and he managed to avoid the move. Danielson got an ankle lock applied. And as Hangman was about to power out of it, Danielson kicked him right in the midsection, right in the ribs. And Brian hit two corner running drop kicks. On the third attempt, Hangman came out of the corner, though, and caught him with a pop-up powerbomb for a great near fall. And that brought the crowd to life. Crowd was into the match, but you know, once we hit that pop-up powerbomb, that was the first time they really kind of surged, and a lot of people kind of jumped to their feet. So Hangman sets up for the Buckshot Lariat. Danielson, though, presence of mind. He's a smart guy. He's done this a time or two. He rolls out to the floor. So Hangman greets him instead with a basement drop kick through the ropes. And he goes back up for another Orihara moonsault. And you should know, in situations like this, you don't get greedy. You don't go back to the well for a move like that more than once. He went back up for another Orihara. Danielson got up, shoved him off, and Paige took this horrible bump. He went over, and he took this horrible back bump onto the ring apron, bounced off, landed on the floor. After that, he was selling a shoulder injury. Danielson saw it, and he went to work. You show him a weakness, and he's going to exploit it. And that is what he did here to the shoulder. So with Hangman on one side of the ring post, Danielson reached through and grabbed his arms and pulled him forward, head and shoulder first into the ring post. And after they cut away from Hangman for a few seconds, Danielson went back in the ring. And they cut away from Hangman for about 10 seconds. And when they went back to him, magically, he was busted open by the hairline. So we got some color here in this match. And they cut to their second picture-in-picture break of the match. During which, Brian did more jumping jacks. And you could see the doctor on the outside tending to Hangman and tending to the wound. Coming out of the break, we were past the 30-minute mark. So half an hour in this match gone. That was the length of the match that Danielson had with Kenny Omega back in September. We've already hit the 30-minute. And I will say, for a 60-minute match, as frustrating as the breaks were and everything, it never felt like it. You know, I've seen Iron Man matches that go long. I've seen matches in general that go long. There are some New Japan matches, right? Those big epic New Japan main events. A lot of them I love. Some of them go longer than they need to. There have been a few Okada matches, frankly, that did not need to go 45 minutes. This match at no point to me felt like, oh, this feels long. Or I'm looking at my watch, I'm looking at the time, okay, when is this going to end? I mean, I'm looking at the time to see, okay, where are we time-wise? Are they going to go to the time limit or not? But at no point, and I mean this as a compliment to the match, at no point did this feel too long or too dull where I was bored. Frankly, that's the way that I felt through a good chunk of the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Iron Man match at WrestleMania 12, which is part of the reason why I think that match is overrated. Very good match. But people talk about it like it's the end-all, be-all. It's the kind of the gold standard for Iron Man matches. No, it's not. No, it's not. So I never felt that way watching this match. And when they hit the 30-minute mark, it didn't feel like it. I said, oh, okay. It didn't feel like 30 minutes. So that's a good sign. So coming out of the break, Danielson comes flying off the ring apron with a knee right to Hangman's head. Back inside, Danielson starts giving him some knuckle sandwiches, trying to open up that wound on his head. Yeah, EJ says, Ring of Honor was notorious for that. I've been to my fair share of Ring of Honor shows. This is before Jim Cornette was brought in, and I think that's one of the things that he wanted to clamp down on, were all of these long matches up and down the card. Save it for the main event. I used to go to these Ring of Honor shows. Fun as they were, they could go 4.5 hours, and it's like, all right, you know, there is a limit to how long some of these shows should be. But there was a fall-away slam attempt by Hangman that was countered into a German suplex. Hangman kicked out. Danielson applied the cattle mutilation. Didn't really get it on very well. Hangman, he wasn't, you know, his stomach wasn't flat on the mat. and he made it to the ropes. Out on the apron, Danielson started throwing yes kicks, but he got greedy, and on the last one that he threw, he hit the ring post. And so that was just the opening that the champion needed to try to get back into this match. He made a comeback, got Danielson's foot wedged between the bars on one of the guardrails, and he kicked the railing, rolled him back into the ring. Hangman locked on the figure four leg lock. Woo! Danielson, though, rolled to the ropes. He got the break, and they cut to another break. And I think this is the point where it was like, all right, this is getting ridiculous now. This is a bit much. Even here, when they cut to the commercial, they cut off Excalibur in mid-sentence. So he wasn't even done talking, telling us that we were going into another break, and they cut him off, and they went right into commercial. Again, one of the reasons why Iron Man matches really don't work well on TV. When they returned, at this point in the match, we were 45 minutes into this show. We were not 45 minutes into the match because the show didn't open up immediately with the match. You had the intro, you had the entrances. So I would say probably by this point, we were about 38 minutes maybe or so into this match. Hangman turned Danielson upside down, hit a jumping tombstone pile driver, went for the cover. Dragon kicked out at two. We got This Is Awesome chant. So again, the crowd trying to rally behind Hangman Page, really trying to get into the match. Not sitting on their hands. They didn't seem bored. They were into it. Page perched Brian up on top, climbed up alongside him for a superplex, but Danielson knocked him off and came off the top rope again with a knee right to Hangman's injured shoulder. Brian followed that up with a shoulder capture suplex into a pinning position, only gets two. Danielson put him back on the top rope. He came off with a gigantic back suplex, which really, you know, it's a move that hurts both people, the executor and the executee, or the executed, I guess you would say. Huge back suplex, hooks the far leg, and again, champion kicks out. Danielson tried for the Gotch-style pile driver on the apron, tried it once, couldn't do it. Tried it twice, couldn't do it. Hangman reversed the third attempt into a deadeye. On the apron, he dropped Brian right on his head. And Brian stayed outside the ring. He was kind of hovering over by the timekeeper's table. He was going to take up as much time as he could with that 10 count before he had to get back inside. Hangman didn't feel like waiting for him and very stupidly climbed up to the top rope. A very dumb move by the champion. He climbs up to the top. It went about as well as you would have expected. He comes flying off. Brian moves out of the way. Hangman crashes through the table. And they cut to another fucking commercial. And I swear, it didn't even feel like 3 minutes since the last one. It felt like they were coming even quicker as they went along here. Another fucking commercial break here. So Danielson, during the commercial, Danielson pulled up the mats outside the ring. He hit a DDT on the concrete during the break. They come back. And Hangman immediately German suplexes Danielson over. He threw a lariat. It was not really that effective because Danielson had been working over the arm. That's the story they were telling. He was working over a couple of different body parts, but he was working over the shoulder so much and the arm that even when Hangman was throwing these clotheslines, he had nothing behind them because he didn't have a lot of power in the arm. Although magically, the power was restored later in the match. But here he was selling the arm and he just didn't quite have the power that he usually does. Danielson got him up top, went to suplex him off. Hangman, though, landed on his feet. Upon impact, he landed on his feet. He got a head of steam, and he threw a lariat that turned the challenger inside out. And that got the crowd loud. That woke up the crowd. Not that they were sleeping, but that really woke up the crowd. So they did the yay boo spot. They were throwing, you know, right hands back and forth. Danielson hit a kick right upside Hangman's head, took him down to his knees. Another kick took him down, flat on his back, and Danielson went for the pin. He got a two count only. And at that point, Justin Roberts, who is back this week, Justin Roberts chimed in with the 5 minute warning. We had 5 minutes left in this championship match. There were 55 minutes, we were told, into this thing. And you could hear, at that point, Danielson shout, he's going to get his fucking head kicked in. And he starts stomping away on Hangman's head. He goes into the corner. and he sets up for the running knee. He goes for it. Hangman scoops him up, hits a leaping deadeye. So we had a jumping tombstone earlier. This time he hit a leaping deadeye. Only gets a 2.5 out of it. Now it's Hangman's turn, and he's yelling, I'm just going to kick his fucking head in now. And he starts stomping away on Danielson's head. And he heads out to the apron for the buckshot lariat. He propels himself into the ring, but Danielson catches him and takes him down with the lapel lock. And he's wrenching back on the hold, and he's throwing forearms, and he's locking it back on, and we get the one-minute time call. We got 60 seconds left in this 60-minute match. Cowboy shit chants erupt. He does fight out of the hold. He delivers a slingshot, and that sends Danielson not out to the floor, but out over the top rope. He's kind of hanging there. He skins the cat and comes back into the ring, and Hangman turns him inside out with a clothesline. He goes back out to the apron, and he blasts him. He blasts him with a buckshot lariat. And as soon as Danielson landed, after he was turned inside out and obliterated by this clothesline, the bell rings, signaling that the match is over. The crowd does not like that at all. Of course they wouldn't like it. So they start booing, and this match is declared a 60-minute time limit draw. So the crowd wants 5 more minutes. They're chanting 5 more minutes. They didn't get their 5 more minutes. AEW did not give them their 5 minutes. They went the distance. This was an excellent professional wrestling match. And as I said at the beginning of the stream, I do reckon a late contender for match of the year. And one of the greatest matches in AEW history. So I've been working, as I said, I've been working on my end of the year list. Top 15 matches of 2021 across, you know, WWE, AEW, New Japan, matches that I've seen. I haven't seen everything, but matches that I've seen. And I think I might have to, before I finalize my list, I might have to reconfigure my list after tonight. We'll see. I have to think about this. There had to be a reason to run this match back. When they announced that they were doing this match tonight and not saving it either for the first Dynamite on TBS on January 5th or Battle of the Belts on January 8th, I knew there was going to be some kind of a finish, whether there was a title change or not. You had to know that there was going to be some kind of a finish that was going to necessitate a rematch within a few weeks. A disputed finish, a draw, something like that. Some kind of controversy coming out of this match. So I think most people should have expected that, and certainly if you listen to this show and these streams, you would have expected it coming into tonight. So I don't see where the draw really should have been a huge surprise. In fact, some people might say, it was a predictable finish. Well, predictable isn't always bad, right? One does not always equal the other. And in this case, it was really going to come down to what kind of a match do they give us? Do they blow us away and give us this excellent match? You know, does the match not live up to expectations and they still go the full 60 minutes? Well, they went the full 60 and they delivered. And they gave us the draw. And now there is a legitimate reason to put these two back in the ring together. You could not have Hangman Page lose in his first title defense. You couldn't do it. We have not seen Hangman Page wrestle. We have not seen him in action since he won the championship, I don't believe, from Kenny Omega at Full Gear. And I know we haven't seen him defend the title since then. Payoff to the Hangman Page title win. I mean, that was a story that played out for over 2 years. Now, I'm not expecting him to go on to have a year-long reign like Kenny Omega did. But you cannot, after a 2+ year storyline arc, put the championship on this guy, one of your young pillars of the company. He may not be as young as some of the younger talent they have, but you know, you could look at him and say, even though he did wrestle in New Japan, and even though Hangman did wrestle in Ring of Honor, he really made a name for himself as a headliner and a main eventer in AEW. So you can call him an AEW homegrown talent. You don't put the championship on him and then take it off in his first defense. That would have been fucking insane. That's something WWE would do. So he could not lose this match. Danielson is bulletproof. I mean, he could have lost, and it's not as if it would hurt him, but you really needed to do something to get these two back in the ring together, preferably without putting the championship on Danielson. And that's what they did here. And now things are perfectly set up. It hasn't been announced yet, but things are perfectly set up to rematch these two January 8th on that first TNT special at the Battle of the Belt show. There's already, I see a lot of criticism online. And look, not everybody is going to love this match, but there are already people I see. And I've already gotten a bunch of messages. Hey, what's up, Amara, in the chat? Amara Woods, what's going on? I already see a lot of criticism about the finish. You know, the draw, what a shitty finish. You can't do that. There should have been a winner. And honestly, I think part of that, and this may not apply to everybody, but I do think what you have are a lot of WWE fans who are simply not conditioned. They're not accustomed to seeing a time limit draw, let alone a 60-minute time limit draw. They're not accustomed to seeing a 60-minute match. But they don't do time limit draws very often in WWE. In fact, they rarely do them. Every now and then they will when it's convenient for them. They never announce time limits in WWE. At least in AEW, every week, you have time calls. Justin Roberts or Dasha, whoever's on, you know, ring announcing duties that night, they will butt in the middle of the match and say 5 minutes have gone by, 10 minutes have gone by, or however many minutes are left. They're consistent with it. So, you know, people may have been expecting a draw tonight, but the idea is if you announce that these matches have time limits, when you do have a match that goes the distance and people aren't expecting it, it's not as if you make it blatantly obvious by having these time limit calls. They have them every single week. WWE does not do that because WWE, Vince McMahon, they don't believe in time limits. I've heard Jim Ross go off on this before. He's ranted about this for years now, about how and why he thinks wrestling should still have time limits. And AEW does that. And I think you have a lot of WWE fans who didn't grow up on that, or because WWE doesn't do it now, they're not really familiar with it. They look at it like some cheap cop-out finish. And so they're just not accustomed to it. And so whatever they don't, they're not familiar with, they don't like. And they automatically say, oh, that's a shit finish. In this case, it worked. It was not a shit finish. It worked. It was the right finish in this match. And my one critique, if I had one, is the one that I mentioned earlier, is that you had I'm Jim Ross now. Bryan Danielson in September go to a 30-minute draw with Kenny Omega. And then 3 months later, he goes to a 60-minute draw with Hangman Page. And you have no winner in either of those matches. Ideally, I would not have had them so close together. You know, I think you would want to space those types of things out. But that's really the only criticism I can levy against this. That was really the only real quibble I had. Otherwise, it was just those dumb commercial breaks. And all you people watching on Fight TV, you didn't have that. So I think you had the right idea. I got to start using my ExpressVPN. I talk about ExpressVPN on the podcast and how you guys can get 3 free months and all that. And I give you that offer every week. I talk about it every month. And I have it. I think I might have to start using it. So anyway, chime in and let me know. When we do the Super Chat reads later and we hang out, I want to know what you guys thought of the match. Where do you fall? Did you have an issue with that? Did you have an issue with them doing a time limit draw? How would you have done it? Because to me, it was really the only finish that that made sense. We had Adam Cole in the back with Bobby Fish and the Young Bucks talking about the best friends and how they've been leaving them laying now multiple times over the last several weeks. Nick Jackson suggested they have an 8-man tag on Rampage. And Adam Cole then teased a Christmas gift. He had a box. He had like a wrapped gift in his hand. And he was teasing, revealing the gift or giving the gift to the Bucks. But they're going to wait. Matt Jackson said, I like surprises. So they're going to wait. And he's going to give them their gift on Dynamite. They're having this big holiday bash edition of Dynamite next week. And he's going to give them their gift next week. And that right there, my friends, is undisputed. All I thought when this segment was over, as far as what that surprise might be. And not only that, when Dynamite ended tonight, Kyle O'Reilly tweeted at 9:56 p.m. Eastern time, 4 minutes before the end of the show. Kyle O'Reilly went on Twitter and he put the eyes emoji and a gif of Brad Pitt from the movie Seven asking, what's in the box? Kyle's got nothing to do. He's a free man. He's not under contract. He's not under a non-compete clause. He can go and do whatever he wants. They're teasing a surprise next week. We'll see. Maybe he's just playing into it to get people talking. But the 8-man tag team match is official for Rampage on Friday. It'll be Trent, Chuck, Orange Cassidy, and Rocky Romero against Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and the Young Bucks. You guys know my thoughts as far as Kyle is concerned. I've talked about, I think a Red Dragon reunion is exactly what the doctor ordered. I think it's the best place for him to be. It's certainly a lot better than the place he was in before. I am hoping, now I can't say for sure if he's the surprise next week. I think he is. I think that's, they're teasing it. And now Kyle's teasing it. I mean, I half expected him to be on the show tonight, but do I think it's Kyle O'Reilly? Do I think he's coming in? Do I think we're getting an Undisputed Era, a Red Dragon reunion? Yes, I do. And I think it's the right place for him to be. We had Wardlow one-on-one against Matt Sydal. This did not last very long. I don't think anybody expected this match to last very long. Tuxedo T. Servo has been a Sound Off Superstar channel member for 4 months. Four months. He says, I have no issue with a time limit draw for the top championship. So there you go. Sydal came out of the gate with kicks. Wardlow caught one, turned it into a powerbomb. Even more powerbombs followed. One powerbomb, two powerbombs. I think he hit a third powerbomb. Sean Spears was out there. He's his accountability buddy. And he got on the mic and he was begging Wardlow to stop. And the crowd was so concerned. They were so concerned about the health and well-being of Matt Sydal that they chanted one more time. And Wardlow obliged. And he gave him one more powerbomb. And then he finally put the guy out of his misery. One, two, three. When the match was over, Spears got in the ring. He attacked Sydal with his steel chair. And all of a sudden, he got a call on his phone. He got a call on his phone from MJF, who wanted him to relay the message to Wardlow that he should go pick up some champagne for MJF's victory celebration when he retains his Dynamite Diamond ring against Dante Martin later in the night. And we never did see or hear from Wardlow again. That was the last we saw of Wardlow. We had a Malakai Black vignette, and I want to talk about this because I feel like it's sort of been lost in all the talk of the 60-minute draw tonight and some of the other stuff that happened on the show. And it was quick. It was maybe, 90 seconds. But this was a really well-done vignette. I liked the way it was shot. I liked the voiceover for it, the narrator, whatever you want to call it. He was talking about how violent human nature is, and we should accept that. There was a few different people. I think there was one person who handed something, the book. There was like a book that was handed to Malakai Black. We couldn't see the identities of any of these people. But there was one person who was wearing a black mask of some kind. And again, we couldn't see their face. We didn't know exactly who they were. And with his back turned, Malakai spits black mist in this person's face. I can only assume that the person took the mask off when Malakai spat in their face. I guess that's a kink some people like. I won't judge. But he spits black mist in his face, and the key line here was at the end of the promo where he leans into this person next to their ear, and he whispers in their ear, he goes, "Now you're so much more than a king." And that was the end of the segment. And, we have talked about the end of Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor just had its final battle pay-per-view this past weekend. The same date, in fact, that Malakai Black came on by to House of Glory. And I got to call a Malakai Black match for the very first time against Buddy Matthews. Great match, and that was a very fun night. Eddie Kingston as well. Got to call an Eddie Kingston match. We saw him here coming up in a little bit. But that same night, Ring of Honor ran their final pay-per-view for the year, and who knows, maybe ever, final battle in Baltimore. And we have talked about the various Ring of Honor talents that are now going to be available, that are available right now. Jay Lethal left Ring of Honor. He's already in AEW. The Briscoes are very likely going to be coming to AEW. We already know they're going to be at the Hammerstein for the GCW show next month in New York City. Where are all these other AEW, Ring of Honor talents going to land? One name that hasn't really been talked about as much as some of the, kind of the bigger names is Brody King. And so was he talking to Brody King? Because very clearly Malakai Black is putting together his own House of Black. That's why I said the person, the cloak person who handed him the book and, these other people, there may already be multiple members. We just don't know who they are. We don't know who their identities are. Some of the people that he has spat the black mist in their face, Julia Hart, Pac, we may very well end up seeing them align with Malakai Black. Maybe they were in this vignette. Maybe they were some of those people. But the comment about now you're, about the king and everything made me think of Brody King. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not Brody King. Maybe it's Kenny King. Who the fuck knows? Who knows? Maybe Kenny King is going to join the House of Black. But like a lot of you, I thought of Brody King, and I think that might be a tease for what's to come. But he also said, the house always wins. I thought this vignette was very well done. I really love what they've done with Malakai Black so far, and I get the sense that he must be happy because he's able to... He's probably coming up with all this stuff on his own. And so he's got his creative outlet here at this company, and he's able to, kind of paint the picture he wants to paint and tell the story he wants to tell. And I find it intriguing. His matches so far, I've enjoyed his work. So he's really found his footing in AEW so far. He's another one who I think, looking ahead to 2022, I've talked about how MJF could be the one to take the championship from Hangman Page, maybe a Double or Nothing next year. But let's not discount Malakai Black. Malakai Black is AEW world champion. I dig it. I could see it. I like the idea. There's only one spot at the top for the champion. They have a lot of different people who could occupy that spot. On the babyface side, on the heel side, you've got Punk, you've got Danielson, you've got Darby, you've got MJF. You can give Hangman a longer reign. Maybe the belt bounces back to somebody else, like Moxley or Omega. I mean, who knows? But Malakai Black as AEW World Champion at some point, even later in the year next year, is something that I think, frankly, should happen. Or at least he should certainly be in that mix. Because he is one of the best that they have. I've really enjoyed his work. We had Hikaru Shida one-on-one, speaking of work that I've enjoyed. We had part three, chapter three here, between Hikaru Shida and Serena Deeb. The first two parts were fantastic, especially that last match they had on TV. I thought that was just tremendous. This was also very good, but I said at the beginning, I thought this was the weakest, I think, of the three matches they've had. It definitely was not as good as the last match they had. This one, that match felt like it just kind of kicked up into that next gear, where I still remember that match. I don't know that I'm going to remember much about this match, in a couple of months, but it was still very good. And I think it's impossible for these two to go out there and have a bad match together. These two just work well together when they're in the ring. Serena attacked before the bell, and Shida threw her kendo stick at her. The referee had to kind of keep them apart. Bell rang. They started brawling. And they started going at it in the corner. Shida isolated Deeb in the corner, hit a drop kick, and then hit a springboard crossbody. Serena rolled through into a knee bar, and that forced Shida to the ropes for the break. Shida went for a knee in the corner, but Serena avoided it, locked on a figure four around the ring post. And that led into a commercial break. Come back. Shida hits a step up Enziguri for two, followed by a delayed vertical suplex. They fought up to the top rope, and Serena wrenched on Sheeta's knee and hit a neck breaker across the steel cables. They have the steel cables in the corner where the turnbuckles are placed over. It's kind of hard to describe, but she hit this cool-looking neck breaker right across one of the cables. Serena floated over into a modified Muda Lock. Shida made it to the ropes, and she attacked her with multiple twisting neck breakers. Shida, though, powered out into a Falcon Arrow after the first two neck breakers. They traded cradles back and forth until Deeb locked on a single-leg crab. Shida would not tap out. And Serena exposed the top turnbuckle, pulled the pad off. Sheeta blocked her attempt to send her into it. And ultimately, Deeb went into the turnbuckle instead. Sheeta jackknifed her into a cradle for the win. Again, very good stuff. It just never really kicked into that next gear the way that their last match did. I also think something else hurt the match. As good as the match was, I think something else that also hurt the match for me, and you guys can speak to it if you feel the same way. You know, they announced this match for Winter is Coming, and when they did, it was like, I had almost forgotten about them. They have not been featured on television at all. There's been so many other things going on in AEW, and there's been so many other things going on these shows that these two women have been neglected. They haven't even bothered really having any non-wrestling segments or, you know, promos with them or anything like that. It just sort of came out of nowhere like, hey, don't forget about these two. They still don't like each other, and we're going to put them back together for one more match. It was almost like they felt forgotten about. So there was really no way to put any more heat on this match. It was just sort of like, we're going to have the match. And I had to go back and remember, you know, the last great match they had, but there was nothing that happened in the middle. Now, maybe there was stuff on social media, but if there was, it should have been aired on TV because I didn't see it. And if I didn't see it, there's probably a lot of other people that didn't see it either. At least mention them, at least bring it up. And they didn't do that, so it kind of felt they went into this match a little cold. But I enjoyed all three matches that these two had. And we don't get to see enough of them. We don't get to see enough of Serena Deeb on TV. So hopefully in the new year, we'll get to see more of her. I just saw a note in the chat. We were just talking about the Malakai Black segment, talking about Brody King. I just want to check one thing here because there could be some news on that front. And here we go. This right here is from the Wrestling Observer website. I'll just read you the update here. New Japan Strong talent and now former Ring of Honor wrestler Brody King has reportedly signed with AEW. Bodyslam.net's Cassidy Haynes reported the news Wednesday night, confirmed by what he said were multiple sources. He said, one source said the deal was done as early as Thanksgiving weekend, nearly immediately after the news of Ring of Honor going dark next year came out. Haynes believed that Wednesday's House of Black vignette featuring Malakai Black was the tease of the impending debut, as Black was with a black hooded person. So there it is. I literally just talked about this, and now comes the news that it appears Brody King has signed with AEW. And Bodyslam.net reported that they broke a lot of news on the CM Punk and the Bryan Danielson front as well. So I consider them to be a mostly reliable source. If they say that he signed, I trust that he signed. So there you go. We'll see if it pans out. But again, that was my thought, as I know it was many of you when I watched the segment. That line about the King got me thinking, King. Who do we know? King, with the name King. Jerry Lawler is not coming to AEW. Jerry Lawler just signed a 2-year contract extension with WWE. We don't want him in AEW. I don't know that I want him in WWE, let alone AEW. But we have Brody King, and it looks like he's on his way. Staying on the subject of Malakai Black, we had the Varsity Blondes. We had Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr. in the back with Tony Schiavone, who asked them about Malakai's attack on Julia Hart when Malakai misted her. We haven't seen her since. She was not here. Griff Garrison was very upset about this. He was very upset about what happened to Julia Hart, and he was upset that it didn't seem to bother Brian Pillman as much as he felt it should have, and he started shoving Pillman, and Pillman said, of course I care, and he shoved Pillman again. And Garrison looked into the camera. This is the best Griff Garrison promo that he's ever cut. He looked into the camera, and he said that he's going to break Malakai Black's jaw next week on the Holiday Bash episode of Dynamite. Looks like Griff is going to die next week. Brian Pillman is going to become a singles wrestler after next week. So Griff Garrison gets sent to the plank against Malakai Black next week. Then we had one of the best segments on the entire show. We had a recap of Hooks debut. Let me see all the hooks in the chat. All the hook emojis. We have the recap of Hook's debut from Rampage this past Friday night. His win over Fuego del Sol, the future of AEW. And by the way, for all the people who made fun of everybody putting over Hook and talking about Hook, Hook this, Hook that, Hook has overtaken CM Punk for the number one selling t-shirt on all of ProWrestlingTees.com. Even Punk, I saw, posted in a comment under the post on their Instagram page. He thought it was cool. They had a whole listing of the top shirts. Punk has like the first top, like two or three shirts. And no longer is CM Punk number one. For the first time since August, there's a new number one. And his name is Hook. Literally, it just says Hook on a white t-shirt. It's not even like orange or anything. Imagine when they sell the orange colored t-shirt. Then they're going to really sell some shirts. Let's just hope all this Hook love doesn't go to Hook's head. Eddie Kingston was in the back, and he addressed Daniel Garcia in 2.0. He said he was tired of them, and he challenged them to a 5-on-5 tag team match. It would be Kingston along with Santana and Ortiz and the Lucha Bros against Garcia 2.0 and whoever they want to tag with. I don't believe they announced who it would be, but that match is going to take place on Friday. And then it was time for the final, I won't even call it the main event because it really wasn't the main event, but it was the final match of the night. It was MJF one-on-one against Dante Martin in the Dynamite Diamond Ring final, the ring that Excalibur said was appraised at $100,000. The $100,000 diamond ring. I'll take your word for it. That's what he said. MJF came out. He called this place a goddamn dump. Talking about Garland, Texas. He said, hey, Texas, your daughter swallows. Maybe you'd like me more if I was more like you. Less education and more pro-incest. And that was all well and good. I mean, that's just kind of corny shit. But then came a fucking great line. That shit was just whatever, right? This was great. He points out, first of all, he points out the same thing that I pointed out last week when they were in Long Island. And CM Punk came out and he was going off on the Islanders. And yes, I know that Punk is a big hockey fan and he hates the Islanders. I know that. And I have no problem with him healing on the Islanders. My issue was that he kept going back to it. It's like beating a dead horse. He had no other material. It's like he went out there and he just kept going on about the Islanders. And he had nothing else to offer. Well, MJF pointed out the same thing this week. And he criticized CM Punk for ranting on the Islanders for far too long because he didn't know what else to say. Oh boy, you should have seen the messages I got from the AEW bots. The AEW bots, boy, they got their batteries recharged. They hit my timeline. Holy shit. You should have seen some of the messages that I got. You should have seen the brain damage up and down my timeline last week. Again, you say one negative thing about CM Punk, AEW, holy shit. It's like they come out of the woodwork, and then they crawl back into the holes from whence they came. But the line that got me, he said, CM Punk having a winning streak against underwhelming opponents does not make him championship material. It makes you Ryback. Anytime you heal on Ryback is okay with me. Ryback has said some really dumb shit on social media, so anytime anybody wants to go on TV and take a shot at Ryback, at least if you make it good, and I thought he delivered that well, that got a laugh out of me. Although not as funny as the time that Ryback went on his Twitter and put a poll up and asked people, where do you want to see the big guy land? And he listed AEW and NXT and WWE, and then he put retire, and of course retire won the poll, and he was all upset about it. I think that takes the cake for said tweet. Good old Ryback. Actually, you know what made me laugh the hardest today? I saw it on SEScoops.com. Shout out to SEScoops. They had a note on Buff Bagwell. I don't know what podcast he went on. But apparently Buff Bagwell went on some podcast and claimed that WWE wanted him to go into the Hall of Fame. I guess this would have been this year, I guess. They did that induction. I think it was delayed from last year. They were going to induct the NWO into the Hall of Fame. And they had Hogan, Hall, Nash, and Waltman went in with them. Now, there were a lot of members of the NWO. A lot of members. Some members aren't even alive anymore. Some members are not on good terms with WWE, and they would not be asked to go in. So someone like a Scott Steiner. But of all the NWO members you would think they would bring in to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, one of the names that I don't believe that you would think of is Buff Bagwell. And Buff Bagwell claims, and this is his story, Buff Bagwell claims that WWE wanted him to go into the Hall of Fame with the NWO, but he turned them down and said no, because he didn't want to go in as part of a group induction. Here's what I think happened. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he's probably not making the whole thing up. He probably did get some kind of a call from WWE about going into the Hall of Fame the same year that the NWO was going to go in. Again, whether last year, this year, whatever it was. I can believe that. I can believe that somebody may have reached out to him about going into the Hall of Fame. Because, you know, those guys, they need somebody to hold the door open for them. Maybe proofread their speech, you know, be a seat filler in the crowd. WWE has a lot of those these days, you know, seat fillers. That I can believe. Maybe they wanted to throw a few bucks, you know, Buff's way. He's fallen on some tough times recently. But the idea that they would put Buff Bagwell in the Hall of Fame, I can't even say that with a straight face. No. I don't buy that. MJF said that he deserves a title shot because he beat Hangman Page, just like he's going to beat Dante Martin tonight here in the main event. Now, I said at the beginning of this stream that there was interest on WWE's part in MJF, which I think anybody could figure out. Of course, they would have interest in MJF. I mean, he's one of the hottest young stars in the entire business. And he's only 24, is he 24, 23, 24? He said he was born in 1996, so I guess that would make him 25. Yeah, when he said that he was born in 1996, I got very depressed. I don't know, when you think about it in those terms, it just makes you feel so fucking old. Like in 1996, I was watching Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and Psycho Sid and Vader, and you know, I'd already been a wrestling fan for by that point, probably, I don't know, 13, 14 years by that point. This fucking guy wasn't even born until that year. And he's one of the hottest stars in all of wrestling. But Andrew Zarian of the Mat Men podcast, he posted the update. And I'll just read some of this before we get into the match here. So the past few weeks, he's been asked personally by people, multiple people, connected with Fox and USA Network, about MJF. Because his program with CM Punk has brought in a new level of interest from non-wrestling followers at both networks. And he was asked if MJF's contract with AEW really is up in 2024, which is what he had said on television in his promo a few weeks ago. And by the way, Tony Khan has confirmed that was a shoot. So again, MJF ain't going nowhere for a while. He's locked in for at least a couple more years. But he says, an individual at one of those networks who has been a very reliable source of information told me, I actually stopped what I was doing and listened to him being MJF. I don't think I have done that with pro wrestling in a long time. And he says, WWE is very interested in him. When I reached out to a source within WWE, they mentioned that the same conversations the networks have happened within the company regarding MJF. He has everything we would want. It really depends on if he could be that same person on WWE TV. By the way, the answer is no. He says, we want new stars to be the focus within the next few years. That is the plan. So it is hardly news that WWE would have interest in MJF, because why the fuck wouldn't they? The idea of MJF going to WWE just feels wrong to me. And I hope it does not happen. And I don't believe it will. There is no reason to think that MJF would go to WWE. Now, would he entertain ideas, or not ideas, but offers from WWE to kind of up his price? Of course, it's a smart thing to do. That's why it didn't make any sense for Johnny Gargano or Kyle O'Reilly to re-sign with WWE, because they were so close to the end of their contracts. If WWE wants to retain their services so badly, let them hit the free agent market and let the market do its thing. And maybe they can, if they want to come back to WWE, maybe they'll make more money. Kevin Owens apparently was very happy with the offer that he got. He didn't wait to become a free agent. He re-signed with WWE. But Gargano and O'Reilly are free agents. They hit the free agent market. It's the smart thing to do. So, not surprising that WWE would have an interest in MJF, but can you imagine a kind of a PG WWE-ized version of MJF? Can you imagine MJF going out there and having to recite this just scripted bullshit that they give to so many people on TV? Some of the material, MJF going out there and talking about the WWE universe, like, it makes my fucking skin crawl just thinking about it. There are certain people who are not a fit for that product in WWE television. MJF is one of those people. He would not fit on that show at all. He would be neutered. He would be neutered. God only knows booking-wise what they would do to him. Don't even get me started on some of the shit that I saw on Monday. So, no. MJF would not be a good fit for WWE. MJF would be doomed the moment he signs with WWE. He'd make a lot of money. He would make bank. I'm sure they would give him a great offer. But that would be about the worst fucking move that he could possibly make. So MJF and Dante Martin. MJF hit a side headlock takeover right away. The same move he beat Darby Allin with. Got a near fall. Dante was outmaneuvering MJF. He was flying all over the place. He was diving. He was jumping. He was leaping. He was showing off all of his great athleticism. Crazy Gacy, I see you in the chat. Hi, Solomonster from the UK, he says. Hey, Crazy Gacy. What's going on? You related to Joe? So Dante is flying around, and he hits this rolling 450 knee drop for a near fall. And he tried for, or was going to go for a springboard. MJF rolled out to the floor to avoid the dive. And MJF tried to catch Martin, once he got back into the ring. Dante, though, had it scouted. Went for his double springboard moonsault. MJF, though, countered and sent Dante all the way into the barricade on the floor. Just shoved him off, and Dante went flying and hit the barricade on the way down. And we went to the final commercial of the show. We come out of break. Dante gets a victory roll for a near fall. He tries for another one, and MJF gives him a powerbomb instead. But he tried to use the ropes for leverage. Referee Bryce Remsburg saw it. He said, no, I don't think so. So he caught him. Dante hit a missile dropkick and a giant dive out over the top onto MJF. And moments later, another dive, this one out over the turnbuckles. MJF rolls out to the floor on the opposite side of the ring, and so Dante goes and hits another dive. He hits a Sasuke special and goes flying over the top rope and lands on MJF. He can dive out every side of the ring, north, south, east, west. This kid was flying all over the place. MJF now is in the aisleway. The only side of the ring that's left. Dante hits a springboard shooting star press off the top rope. Now, he missed most of it. His knee glanced MJF's head. So they at least were able to sell the idea that the knee connected with the face. But yes, 96% of his body missed MJF on the way down. Inside the ring, they traded cradles. MJF got a side headlock takeover, almost won it. Then they both traded side headlock takeovers for near falls. None of them were successful. MJF hit a Liger bomb for a close near fall. Dante hit the double jump springboard a little bit later on, that double jump springboard moonsault that he has finished off other opponents with. And he had MJF pinned. Ricky Starks, though, placed MJF's foot on the bottom rope. Revenge for Dante, turning on Team Taz and eliminating him from the Battle Royal last week. And MJF immediately applied the Salt of the Earth armbar for the submission win. He gets the tap out, and for the third straight year, this surprised me, for the third straight year, MJF wins the Dynamite Diamond Ring. I thought CM Punk would come out and would cost him the Diamond Ring. And that did not happen, especially after we saw Ricky Starks. I thought that might bring Punk out to the ring, but the armbar was applied so quickly, and that was it. It was lights out at that point. So I was not expecting that finish. FTR comes out to celebrate with MJF, their fellow Pinnacle member, They hoist them up. They're celebrating. Lights go out. Tony Khan didn't pay his electric bill yet again. Lights come back on. It's Sting and Darby Allin. They go after FTR. FTR, of course, beat the hell out of them on Rampage last Friday. The heels, though, get the upper hand. Fans are chanting CM Punk, and here comes CM Punk. He comes to the ring with a baseball bat, clears the ring, and we're going to get a... they were teasing that there would be a major match announcement at the end of the show. They were teasing this even before the main event. So I don't know how Tony Khan knew that this is how things were going to play out at the end of the show, but it played out the way it played out, and then they announced that next week in Greensboro, on Dynamite, Sting is going to be wrestling for the first time there in Greensboro in 27 years. And it's going to be Sting, Darby Allin, and CM Punk as a team for the first time ever against MJF and FTR. Which actually is pretty cool. I think the idea of seeing Punk and Sting as partners is actually pretty cool. Punk has talked about the fact that he would love to work with Sting. So he's going to get his chance in Greensboro next week. Obviously, Sting has a history there. He wrestled for the World Championship for the very first time against Ric Flair in Greensboro back at the Clash of the Champions in 88. They gave Dante Martin here a chance to really go out there and shine and showcase what he can do. It got too heavy on the dives and stuff for me. I mean, I thought it was good. I'm not of the mind that this was a great main event. It certainly couldn't hold a candle to the world title match, but, obviously, I mean, that went 60 minutes. I don't know. I just think it was a little heavy on some of the acrobatic shit that they were. It was almost like they were just trying to squeeze too much shit in and just, I don't know. It didn't work for me. It didn't feel, at some point, I think there's a way to do a match like that with moves like that where it still feels like a match. And at some point, it just felt to me like more of putting on a show and not having an actual match where there was something at stake. You know, these were the final two men of the Battle Royal last week. We had this $100,000 ring at stake, and it just felt like they were almost putting on a performance here. But MJF pulls it out in the end, and we're going to get a big trios match on TV next week. On the whole, I thought this was a very enjoyable show, carried obviously by the 60-minute World Championship match in hour one. Sheeta and Serena had a very good match. MJF and Dante Martin, that was good. I enjoyed the Malakai Black vignette, even though it was only 2 minutes long. I did enjoy that. Wardlow, quick squash, not much else to say about it. And not really a lot of other filler, not a lot of time for a lot of filler on this show. Rampage this Friday has Ty Conti one-on-one against Penelope Ford in a submission match. There's the Eddie Kingston match that I mentioned earlier. He's going to be teaming up with Santana, Ortiz, and the Lucha Bros against 2.0 Daniel Garcia and two partners of their choosing. And Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and the Young Bucks take on Best Friends, Orange Cassidy, and Rocky Romero. So that's coming up on Friday, and then, of course, the big holiday bash show next Wednesday. There was no Cody. There were a lot of people who they didn't have time for on the show tonight. There were no major surprises. There were no big debuts, nothing like that. Although I think we might be getting one next week. But we have the not only Holiday Bash next Wednesday, next week, Christmas Eve, there will be no Rampage. They're doing it on, I think, Christmas night. That's Saturday. And that's when they're doing Cody and Sammy Guevara for the TNT Championship. They didn't mention that tonight, but that is coming up. Let's head over to the Twitter poll. At Solomonster is where you can vote on Twitter. And you can see here, I put a thumbs in the middle option here for the poll this week. 76% thumbs up, 16% say thumbs in the middle, and 7.5% thumbs down. Overall, a positive response, although not quite as strong as it's been in recent weeks. But again, we've got the thumbs in the middle option, which I usually don't put in. But for the bigger shows, for the pay-per-views, I tend to put that in there. So again, if you want to vote, at Solomonster is the place to go. A Powerful One just dropped a $50 super chat. What is going on, Powerful One? Says they're telling the Rocky story, or the Rocky 1 and 2 story. You have the legend, Brian Apollo, not taking the upstart Hangman Rocky seriously and almost losing. And now the legend is pissed and wants to prove it was a fluke, but the upstart wins and proves that he's the real deal. I mean, yeah, you could. I mean, you could say that's a Rocky story. That's just, you know, it's kind of a basic story. Yeah, that's the story they use in Rocky. I'm not necessarily sure they're stealing that from Rocky, though. I mean, that's a pretty simple story. It's a very simple story that they're telling. You know, sometimes simple works. Doesn't take much more than that. You tell a simple story with the right people who know how to go out there and deliver the notes, as these two did tonight, and what you end up with is usually something pretty special. Cam King says, cold day in California. I don't know, man. The weather is all fucked up. A lot of crazy shit going on. By the way, Friday night, I will be here. We're going to do SmackDown and Rampage again. So we'll do another super stream on Friday night like we did last week. We'll talk about both shows. Just wanted to let everybody know here before I forget. But I do want to get to your super chats. This is my favorite part of the show, where you guys get to chime in with what you thought of Winter is Coming. And if you have questions for me, AEW, WWE, what you should have for dinner tomorrow, anything like that. Let's see what you guys are talking about here. Groovy Goose, before I even went live, had a question. He just was curious. Worst collapse. WCW in 2000 or the Mets in 2007? Oh, the Mets in 2007. But thank you for the $1.99. Thunderblade Liger with the $5 super chat. Buy or sell on Bianca Belair or Jade Cargill? I think they are both, they both have the potential years from now to be major stars in their respective promotions. Bianca is ready now. Jade is not ready yet. So if you're asking me now, buy or sell, then I'm buying on Bianca Belair. But I'm very bullish on both of them. I think they're both going to be huge stars. Joshua Carlos, $1.99. Like how they made it full circle with Punk, MJF, and DA. Punk, MJF, DA. What's DA? Roach Killer Chris Savage. $5 super chat. Solid Monster called that Hangman Danielson goes to a time limit draw. Great match, though. I feel like we all needed a cigarette after that. Well, I don't smoke, but that was a great match. The Sheriff of Patties, $4.99 super chat. Danielson can always remind me why he is my favorite wrestler going today. Him and Paige kicked ass. Also, screw old sexual predator Ric Flair's dumb comments. Well, all right. DA is Darby Allin. I've never heard Darby Allin abbreviated as DA, so I was confused on... talking about the district attorney? I mean, what are we talking about here? Darby Allin, yes. It is kind of a full circle thing, I guess, with that. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, $5 super chat. I will be taking a temporary break from watching Dynamite and Rampage, but I will continue to be in the chat live during the review. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but as long as you're going to be still joining us, then I'm happy to hear that. Brian Pissarro, $35 super chat. Hey, Brian, what's going on, man? I hear from Brian every single week. Shout him out on the podcast. He's won a couple of those Wrestle Rumble contests, too. Hell of an opening match. Both men went all out and delivered. I can see the next match happening at the Battle of the Belts. Ringle, $5 super chat. Brian took the summer off, and he is still going to snatch up Wrestler of the Year. This man is the greatest. How many years in a row did Danielson win the Lou Thesz? It actually might be the Thesz Flair Award in the Observer. going back to his Ring of Honor, didn't he win it for like 7 or 8 years in a row? Something like that. Rodimus Prime, $25 super chat with the WWE Championship match, now a fatal four-way. The obvious choice are Rollins and Lashley to win the title. With Owens now staying, do you think it's possible they put the title on KO? Anything is possible. I'm still sticking with... I agree. It's Rollins. I think it's Rollins. I actually think it makes it even likelier that Big E might retain. Rollins is the one who I had picked to win. I don't think Big E, whether he wins it day one or not, is going into WrestleMania as the WWE champion. I just don't see any compelling heel to match him up with if Big E goes into that show as the defending champion. There's nobody. It would be better for Lashley or somebody like that to win the title and have Big E chase for it to be the challenger. I don't see Big E lasting until WrestleMania as the champion. Jacob Donnelly, $10 super chat. The time limit draw goes vastly underappreciated. When done right, it is a great storytelling tool. So I love what Paige and Brian did tonight. King of Doug style, $5 super chat. A submission match, an 8 and a 10-man tag match seems like a bit of an overload for a 1-hour show on Friday. It's strange that they're giving us the Kingston match and the Bucks match on the same show. That's a bit, I would not do that. Original project with $5. The women's division is getting so much better. Makes me happy for the next year. Tuxedo T Servo, $5 super chat. Did you see the Matt Hardy video where Jeff references the Wilson Phillips song release? What do you think? Because I have no idea. Oh, speak of the devil. Look at that. There is the Solomon Monster Hardy. You could not have timed that any better. You could not have timed that any better. I got to put the face paint on that Jeff. He paints his eyelids. Only it probably wouldn't rub off. It'd be like permanent and I wouldn't be able to get it off. As far as what do I think, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this on the podcast on Sunday, but I stand by what I said last week. I don't believe that he intentionally did whatever it was that he did to try to fake his way out of his contract. I don't buy it. He had to know that WWE was going to do what they did when he refused rehab. But the way that he was acting and behaving at that show, do I think it was all some kind of an act and a put on to get fired and get out of his contract? No, I don't. I think he's just sort of playing off all the reports and all the whole controversy. But no, I said it before. Jeff Hardy is not a calculating person. I don't believe that Jeff Hardy conspired to get fired and leave WWE. I think that's ridiculous. So, Demi Cammy CJ. Danielson is the best wrestler of this era. You know, you think of Danielson and Okada. I still look at Okada as the best in the world. And so you can't go wrong with either one of those. Okada is in the conversation. Danielson certainly is up there with him. The Manic Magician Bitch with the $5 super chat. But how are they going to top this match? I don't know, but that's what kind of makes it fun to watch him try, right? It has to be some kind of a stipulation. 2 out of 3 falls, perhaps. Demi Cammy. House of Glory was fuego. I marked out a few times, especially when Malachi and Kingston came out and finally meeting the great Solomonster. Yes, I was the dude with the Santa hat. Ah, yes. I got to meet a whole bunch of people at the House of Glory show on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. And I enjoyed it. It was another great show. We have the all-women's tournament coming up in January. January 14th, we're going to crown a new House of Glory women's champion. We're going to be bringing in some names that you guys know. I can't say any more than that right now, but we're going to be bringing in some ladies, and then the Lucha Bros are back, defending their House of Glory tag team titles. They didn't defend them throughout the whole pandemic because there were no shows. So So the Lucha Bros are coming back, and I'll get to call their match in February. So a lot of good stuff coming up. And we're still going to get that Malakai Black Amazing Red match in at some point. It got postponed. It's going to happen. We don't know when, but it's going to happen at some point. Turtlehead 2, $5 super chat. How about a triple threat with Omega, Danielson, and Hangman at Revolution? I know one-on-one is AEW's thing, but it's a nice heel face tweener scenario. I don't know that Omega's going to be back in time for Revolution. Supposedly he was hoping to be. I'm not really expecting him to be back by then. Food High. AEW 95% of the time gives us what we want. And he says, is there a members-only treat for this month? Yeah, actually, one of the things, and I have to talk to Steve. I don't know if Steve's in the chat. Steve Mello, the magician behind the artwork here on this channel. I want to come up with a name and a logo for pilot. We're gonna do a call-in show. We're gonna try it out for members only, because I know some people like phone calls, some people don't. I want to give people a chance to call in. I think we'll make that a members only feature. There is more retro audio coming. I'll probably throw up a thread for another members only Q&A video soon. So yeah, you guys got some treats coming. I've just been so busy prepping for House of Glory and then the show on Sunday. Stuff with the other job. And there's so much shit going on. But I got you guys covered. Don't worry about it. EJ Slemp, $5 super chat. If we get a six-man tag match between the Elite and the Undisputed Era, who are the heels and who are the faces? That's for AEW to decide. I don't know that there are any designated baby faces outside of wherever the crowd decides to cheer for. I think they would just sort of leave it up to the audience. They're really all heels. But if Kyle O'Reilly comes in, and if there's a fracture within the Super Click and Adam Cole sort of goes out on his own with his old crew, I would assume they would be the baby faces. Young Bucks are better off anyways. They're just naturally obnoxious and hateable. Joseph Brooks, $4.99 super chat. Buy, rent, or sell on which division was used better and was better? WCW Cruiserweight Division, WWE Light Heavyweight Division, or TNA X Division? The TNA X Division in its infancy, in its early years, was actually quite great. Until they got away from what made the X Division special, and it wasn't so great anymore. The WCW Cruiserweight Division introduced a lot of new faces to fans in this country who otherwise might not have been exposed. Like a Dean Malenko, like a Chris Jericho, like an Ultimo Dragon, like an Alex Wright. You had people like Prince Iaukea in there for every star or person who went on to great notoriety. Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit. You had a Prince Iaukea, and I actually liked Prince Iaukea. He was okay. Blitzkrieg. I don't know whatever happened to Blitzkrieg. Boy, you know, if I had to rank them, WWE Light Heavyweight Division is dead last. They never took their division seriously. Absolute fucking bottom of the rung, dead last. I would go WCW Cruiserweight Division and then TNA X Division. But that's me. Quintus Brown, great show. My little brother said the Big E getting pinned on Raw was a better finish than the draw tonight. I hope he was laughing when he said that. Billy Kidman, yeah, I forgot Billy Kidman. El Dandy, he's a jam-up guy. La Parca. Disco, Jamin John, is Rocky Maivia, or... I think he misspelled this. Is Rocky Maivia is a lot of things, but sucks isn't one of them. Greatest rock promo. No. That's not the greatest one. If you're asking me if that one is the greatest one, no, it's not. What is the greatest one? I mean, come on. You can't force me to think back and choose. I mean, obviously, a lot of us think of the Billy Gunn one. Billy Gunn was praying to God. That's got to be up there, no? Joseph, which wrestler should have and could have been a world champion one day, Ahmed Johnson or Monty Brown? Monty Brown. Monty Brown had so much potential to be a big star. And if I remember his story, I think there was some tragedy in his family. His sister, I think, died or was killed. And I think he left wrestling to take care of her kids and her family. I think that's the reason why he left. You know, Monty Brown and the pounds and everything. I mean, he could have been a lot bigger than he was. He's someone who I think had he gone to WWE, they would have gotten behind him. He would have become a big star. But even in TNA, I think he would have become a champion at some point. Ahmed Johnson just, you know, they pushed him like he would have been world champion. But my God, I mean, he couldn't stay healthy. And he was hurting other people. He was hurting himself. His promos were shit. I mean, he had an intensity about him. But that's about all he had going for. Monty Brown was a more complete, you know, he was a more complete athlete, a more complete wrestler. Dry chicken without flavor. I wish Sheeta versus Deeb was a street fight or a first blood match. Mackenzie Lambert, $2. First time seeing Dante in the ring. Impressed. Jamin John, is Gremlins 2 underrated sequel? Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think I might like that one better than the first one. Jamin, I don't know on your second question. EJ Slamp, I don't know if you saw Prince Nana was on Elevation this week. Would you like to see the Embassy in AEW with Keith Lee, Mia Yim, and some younger talent? Oh, I don't know if you need to bring back the Embassy. It's been a long time since I've seen Prince Nana. God, that's going back to my Ring of Honor days from 2006, 2007. I don't think Keith Lee needs to be in a group. I think Keith Lee can get over as a major star on his own. Dry Chicken, MJF missed an opportunity to talk trash about the Dallas Cowboys tonight. Yeah, how come MJF didn't go out there and just repeat the same jokes about the Dallas Cowboys over and over again? Cheap Pete. How come he didn't do that? I don't know. Brian Mahoney, $5 Super Chat. I will take a 60-minute draw between two great wrestlers in an excellent match over a distraction, DQ, or count out in a 2 to 5 minute match any day. As would I. You and I both. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $9.99. Naif, you and Turkey are doing well. Joseph Brooks with the $4.99. Which combo do you think is better overall, and which would be better on promos? Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, or Bobby Lashley and MVP? Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. That's just an iconic pro. It's like peanut butter and jelly. I like Lashley and MVP, but they ain't no Lesnar and Heyman. Brian Mahoney, $5 Super Chat. Unless there is a complete creative control in MJF's contract, there is not enough money to get him to WWE unless he was offered a Roman Reigns contract. Quizzical one. Keep an eye on that. If need be, you could drop the hammer. Tyler Fairchild, $5 Super Chat. MJF would be shackled in WWE. The amount of freedom he currently enjoys can never be had. Also, I can imagine a cringe PG MJF. His name is Miz. Well done. Well done. Powerful one with that $50 spot from earlier. Talking about them telling the Rocky story. Thank you again for that, by the way. Powerful one. That was awesome. Jared M, $25 Super Chat. I'll take a good 60-minute Broadway over a distraction roll-up every time. I knew you were going to say that. Something told me that, Jared, you would love the old-school time limit draw. How did I know that? King Bling Blah, Logic. So the rematch has to go longer than 60 minutes. No. No, we do not need another 60-minute match between these two. I think something like 2 out of 3 falls I could see. See, it's got to be like these guys went out there and had a great wrestling match. right? Danielson and Hangman are not going to go out there and have a hardcore match. So then what kind of match do you do? You could do a submission match or an I Quit match or a 2 out of 3 falls. I think it ends up being something like that. Let's see. Anti-M Bishop 07. House of Glory was great. Hashtag thank you, ROH. Love you too, Sid the Kid, Sergio, and everybody else. But anyway, he says, Brian and Hangman had an epic encounter. Another great show tonight. All the best. All the best to you as well. Launchpad. With the $5 super chat, what do you think of the hashtag Hire Russo movement? Would it improve WWE programming? No, I don't believe it would. And as bad as it is, that is not the answer. You don't have to keep coming back to the same person. In 25 years, you mean to tell me there is nobody else who works for that company or who could potentially work for that company who could offer some fresh new ideas? You're going to keep going back to that fucking well. That's the only answer to the problem. It can't possibly be the only answer to the problem. They need to look forward and not back. That will only make things worse. It will not make things better. JM with the $50 super chat. JM, you are a fucking beast. You are indeed. Great episode of Dynamite. By the way, if you want to see an example of what WWE would do with MJF, he's currently feuding with Edge on Monday Night Raw. Mr. Notorious Dez with the $5 super chat. Unfortunately, Kevin Owens re-signed with WWE. Do you think he has reached his ceiling as an upper mid-carder, or do you see him back in main event level? You know, look, I think at some point he'll be challenging for championships. I don't know if he'll win any, but you know what? He's got a couple of kids, and it sounds like they offered him some kind of a real knockout deal. So if he got himself a good payday, then good for him. You know, I'm happy for him. I have no ill will towards him. I just, you know, at some point, if he ends up in this rut where they're not really doing anything with him, or, you know, he's unhappy, or there's... he has some kind of ridiculous thing they're making him doing on TV or anything like that. I don't have any sympathy for you with that. I'm not going to come on my show and say, what are you doing to this poor guy? Because he knew what he was getting himself into. He seems like a smart guy. I'm sure he knows exactly what he's getting himself into. He trusts that they believe that they think that he is a big part of the machine, and that he will be treated with the respect that he feels he deserves. And you know what? For his sake, I hope that's true. Time will tell. But it sounds like he's getting himself a pretty sweetheart deal out of it. When you got a couple of kids and a bunch of cats and pets at home like he does, he's got like a zoo at home. You know, money is important. Money is not everything. But money is very important. When you are a family man like he is, money is very important. I was going to say job security, but again, let's be honest. There is no such thing in WWE unless your name is Roman Reigns. There is no such thing as job security. But I think Owens is somebody high enough up on the card who should be safe. But then again, I would have said the same thing about Bray Wyatt. You know what? Who's to say what's going to happen? I would have said the same exact thing about Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt, and look what happened to them. Kevin Owens can sign whatever contract he wants to. It doesn't guarantee that he's going to be employed by this company either. Get your money while you can. Mr. J, $5 super chat. Run your wrestling company, Vince McMahon of the Golden Era, or Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff. Who's that? Who's Eric Bischoff? Sounds like a religious cult figure. who would I want to run my wrestling company? I think that's the question he's trying to ask me. Is who would I want to run my wrestling company? Vince McMahon of the Golden Era or Eric Bishop of the NWO era? Vince McMahon. Before he went completely insane. Vince McMahon. Fried chicken without flavor. It would be a cool idea to see The Weeknd showing up at Double or Nothing in Las Vegas to introduce a returning Kenny Omega. Chris Underwood, cheers to you, my friend. You're my number one favorite podcaster in the IWC. Thank you for all the years of great content. Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you, Chris. I try my best. Groovy Goose, buy, rent, sell, scrap, or burn. Boy, these are getting really complicated. I used to keep it very simple. Buy or sell. Now it's buy, sell, rent, flip, burn, destroy. MSG, MetLife, Barclays Center, Citi Field, or Yankee Stadium? Oh, Citi Field. I like Citi Field. I'll buy on Citi Field. I would rent on Madison Square Garden. I don't really care much about the rest. I mean, Barclays is okay. Yankee Stadium, I could give two shits about. And MetLife Stadium, I don't really care about. So, burn them all. Mr. Notorious Dez, $5 Super Chat. Both were good Intercontinental Champions, but who do you think would have been a better WWF champion? Rick Rude or Mr. Perfect? That's a tough one. Both very good heels. They both sold kind of the same way. They both sold the Atomic Drop, Greg. They both bumped their asses off their opponents. They were both a good promo. I think it's an even split, 50-50. I think either one of them would have been a great WWF champion, like a heel champion. They just, they didn't have the size that a lot of the guys had in that era that Vince pushed. But Savage wasn't really much bigger than them. Guys like Savage and DiBiase and Flair. So there really is no excuse why they couldn't have gotten a run at some point. Me, I was a Mr. Perfect guy. I would have loved to have seen Mr. Perfect get a run with it. But honestly, either one of them, I think, would have made a fine WWF champion. Steven Chappa with the $20 Super Chat. Thank you, Steven. Appreciate the support. Mr. Notorious Dez, buy, sell, or rent Sid, Vader, and Kane. Ooh. I would buy on Vader, Big Van Vader. I would rent on Sid. Well, no, I take that back. Hold on. Kane. We're talking like original Kane. Boy, that's a tough one. Original Kane into like 2000 Kane is just fucking monster like no other. But, Vader back in his Big Van Vader days is tough to beat. I actually like Sid. I know people hate on Sid, and Sid maybe wasn't the best, but like Sid, I kind of like Sid. I can understand why he got over the way he did in 96. There's just something about the guy. Sid looked like a fucking main event champion wrestler. Just, he had this great look to him. And yeah, he was crazy and his promos were kind of nonsensical, but I don't know. He just was sort of he was the perfect fit at the right time. I probably would go Vader, Kane, and Sid in that. That's how I would rank. JM, holy shit, I'll get to you in a second. Look at this, dropping another $50 here on the stream. Winter is coming. Look at this. Winter has come early for Solid Monster. I could buy the down jacket now for when it really gets cold outside so I don't get sick. I get sick. I can't do the podcast. You don't want me to get sick. These House of Glory shows I'm running back and forth. Dr. NXT Scorpio. For some reason, I was expecting... Let me scroll up. For some reason, I was expecting a DQ finish in the world title match, which was great. Then I remembered I was watching a competent wrestling show. Yeah, they don't do disqualifications hardly ever in AEW, which is kind of nice. Amiibo Guru, buy, sell, rent, and donate. Now I'm donating people. I didn't know you could donate people. Dudley Boys, Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, and the Brothers of Destruction. I don't even know how to answer this. What does that even mean? Donate. What am I donating them to? Am I donating them to a family in need? Am I donating them to science? Am I donating their organs? What am I doing here? I would buy on Edge and Christian. I was an Edge and Christian fan. I would rent on the Dudleys. I would donate the Hardys and sell on the Brothers of Destruction. I don't even know what that means. Amiibo, you have me stumped here. I would donate Undertaker and Kane to a great charity for burn victims. And JM, with the $50 Super Chat drop, looks like you might get the last word here. I saw an interview with Bret Hart where he said he offered to work with WWE talent backstage and they dismissed him. Is Bret under a Legends deal that would prevent him from helping AEW? Bret breaking down a match with someone seems invaluable. Send me a link to that interview. I have not seen that interview. If he offered to assist in some way behind the scenes and mentor talent in some way and they rejected him, that's bullshit. Because Bret Hart could be an invaluable resource. But, you know, Bret's outside the bubble. And Bret, you know, has said a lot of things about WWE that WWE probably doesn't like. So I can understand why they would not want to bring him in-house in that capacity. They might be worried what he might say. He might tell the truth to the talents. He might say things to them they don't want him saying because Bret speaks what's on his mind. That's what's so great about Bret Hart. He don't give a fuck. So, yeah, if WWE doesn't want him in that role and he's willing to help, I think AEW ought to give Bret Hart a call and say, hey, Bret, we'd love for you to come in and, you know, be a kind of a backstage mentor of sorts to some of our talent. I think that would be a fantastic idea if he's interested. How are you going to turn down Bret Hart in that role if he offers his services to you? You out of your mind? That sounds insane to me. But this is the first I'm hearing of this, so. Yeah, send me, if there's an interview, let me know what it is, or send me a link. That sounds crazy. But again, they don't like it when people speak the truth and speak their mind. You speak out of turn in WWE, you get in their on their bad side, and they don't want to have anything to do with you. Bret's too honest for them. He's not a corporate stooge. Say what you want about Bret Hart, even if you're not a Bret Hart fan. He ain't no corporate stooge. Nier, dropping a super chat. First chemo went well. Much love. I'm glad to hear it. I was wondering what was going on with the chemo treatments, and I'm very happy to hear that the first one went well. I don't know how many you have planned. Hopefully not too many of them, but I hope it continues to go well. And I wish you nothing but the best in health and happiness in 2022. I know you obviously had some rough times in 2021. I hope 2022 is a lot better to you than 2021 was. But I hope you are doing well, my friend. It's good to hear from you. And happy holidays to you and to everybody. We got the got to do our Christmas decorative theme for our shows next week. Just like we did last year. We got to get festive for the holidays. Maybe get some lights up, maybe. So that was a lot of fun, and I want to thank you all for your questions. We got some good questions in there, including a few that I just did not know how to answer. Amiibo, I don't. That's the weirdest question I've gotten all night. You stumped me. But I still thank you for the super chat, love. We have over 300 likes so far. We could do better than that. We usually get our likes later on. I want to get them tonight. I don't want to wait. So if you haven't already hit the like button, what are you waiting for? Hit that like button, because now it's time to be the booker. Where we get to book ourselves a couple of WrestleMania main events, one for the men, one for the ladies. And see if we can book ourselves a main event that we would pay good money to see. see what we come up with. We'll start with the men. How about that? We'll start with the men's main event of WrestleMania. We'll book ourselves, hopefully, a babyface and a heel. But let's see. Let's see how it goes here. And we landed, well, we're off to a great start. One half of our WrestleMania main event, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Somebody who has a few WrestleMania main events under his belt. How many main events did Austin have? Let's see. He had 14, 15, 17. Is that it? I think that was it. I thought he had more. Three WrestleMania main events is a good number. Who will Stone Cold Steve Austin be stepping into the ring with? This is going to be good. Stone Cold at WrestleMania, one-on-one with Hangman Adam Page, the reigning AEW World Champion. Two men who like to drink beer. So we know they have that in common, right? Isn't Hangman from Texas? Is he from Texas? No, he's not from Texas. He's from... is he from Virginia or North Carolina? I always forget. I always think of Texas Hangman, so I assumed he was from Texas. But I'd call that a winner. I think we picked ourselves a good main event here this week. So let's switch over to the ladies. Let's see if we have some good luck with them. That's a good one. I'm glad that one turned out well. It doesn't always turn out well, as you well know. Let's try it with the lady, the lovely AJ Lee on your screen. I know a lot of you miss AJ Lee. She's been retired now for a number of years. Maybe we'll pick her this week. Loose Cannon says, I'll drink to that. Loose Cannon Lopez, one of our channel members. All right, the first lady we pick is Bull Nakano. Again, off to a good start. I like it. I like where this is headed. Bull Nakano. Now, I know Alundra Blaze, Medusa, is in this gif. We land on her. That would be a good match. Let's see. We are going to do Bull Nakano one-on-one with Caitlyn in the main event of WrestleMania. Ah, we were so close. We were so close. But I cannot, in good conscience, give that my vote for a WrestleMania main event. That simply is unacceptable. That ain't no WrestleMania main event. I'm sorry. Although I do like Caitlyn, but Caitlyn against Bull Nakano is not a WrestleMania main. Dry Chicken gives it 2 stars in the chat. Well, Bull Nakano could probably get it to 2 stars. I trust that Bull would make that match watchable. I don't know how good it would be, though. Prince Walker, with the $1.99. Pick 3 men and 1 female from the roster to join HOB, House of Black. I don't know if it has to be 3. I mean, I still feel like Pac may join. I think Pac may leave Death Triangle and go to the House of Black. And I think he can make that work. So I would go Pac. I'm trying to think female-wise. We don't see Abaddon on television very often. Abaddon with that character would probably fit in better than most of the women on that roster in the House of Black. I don't know. I mean, on the ladies' side, I don't think Julia Hart would be a very good fit for that. Although we haven't really seen her do much. I don't know. I'd have to give that some... I don't have the entire women's roster in front of me. I think of Britt Baker. I think of Thunder Rosa. I think of Jade Cargill and Chris Statlander and Nyla Rose. I mean, none of them really jump out at me. I mean, maybe if Statlander was to leave Best Friends and go heel. I don't know. I think Chris Statlander could work. If Chris Statlander was to leave Best Friends and join the House of Black and go dark, we know she could work. I think that could work. Jamie Hayter. Yeah, maybe once she breaks away from Britt Baker, I think Jamie Hayter is a potential candidate as well. EJ Slemp with the $4.99 buy, sell, rent. Vader against Sting, Starrcade 92. Vader and Flair, Starrcade 93. And Vader against Shawn Michaels in Mind Games in 96. All great choices and all prove my point that Vader was the fucking man. Put some music back on here. Hey, by the way, shout out to Nier. I see. I just saw that in the chat. Nier says 2022 will be awesome. By the way, my wife is pregnant. So let's bring down some confetti and celebrate with Nier. Congratulations. That is awesome. I just found out one of my good friends, in fact, is pregnant. Well, his wife is pregnant. He's not pregnant. That would be quite the miracle if he himself was pregnant. Everyone's getting pregnant here. What's going on? Like a baby boom. I guess during COVID, people didn't have anything else to do. So what do? They pop out babies. But anyway, everybody congratulate Nier in the chat. That is awesome. That's the way you want to start out your new year. So congrats to you, my friend. Joey, no, I don't follow MLS. But to go back to EJ's buy or sell, I love that Mind Games match in 96. Oh, by the way, no, it wasn't Mind... Wait. It wasn't Mind Games. It was SummerSlam. You had me thinking of Michaels and Foley. No, you're thinking of SummerSlam. But even the SummerSlam match was also very good. Of the matches that you presented to me here, Sting and Vader and Flair and Vader are better than the SummerSlam match with Michaels. Just a matter of do I put the Sting match at number one or the Flair match at number one? I probably would go Sting number one, Flair number two, and then the SummerSlam match at number three. Sting and Vader in 92 in WCW had some fucking awesome matches. You know, the White Castle of Fear strap match, the King of Cable final in the tournament. If you're a newer fan and you've never seen the Sting and Vader matches from WCW back in, like, I guess they were all in 92, do yourself a favor. Look up the dates and the event names. You'll find them all. They're on the network. They're on Peacock. Go watch those. Those matches are fantastic. Dr. NXT Scorpio, you need to add that winner sound effect from The Price is Right when we get a good match. I should. I'll see if I can find it. Groovy Goose, a stone cold winter is coming. Nice show tonight. Off Leather Wings, Von Wagner is Caveman Page. And EJ, I meant SummerSlam 96. I apologize. Also, who do you think was Mr. Starrcade? My pick is Sting. My knowledge of Starrcade offhand is not what it is for the WWE shows, because I grew up a WWE guy. So I can't tell you offhand who I think Mr. Starrcade is. I mean, my first thought would probably be Flair. You might be right, though. Maybe Sting has, you know, better matches at Starrcade than Flair does overall. I don't know. Flair would have been my first thought, but I don't remember all of their key matches at Starrcade. Kumajin in the chat says Vader was awesome in Japan. You know who else was awesome in Japan? Hulk Hogan. I saw that his clips of his match with, not Fujinami. It was one of his, I forgot which one it was. One of his matches in Japan. Who was it against? I forgot. Anyway, when he went to Japan, he was a totally different wrestler. You want to see Hulk Hogan actually wrestle because he knew he had to? You watch some of his Japan matches. You know, and he wrestled Muda there as well. The match I'm thinking of was against somebody else. Somebody in the chat remind me. It's going to fucking annoy me. I was just watching this video earlier today. They were having a hell of a match, too. It wasn't Muda. It was somebody else. It was, oh, God. They brought him in for the tag match at WrestleMania 7 with Katao. He teamed up with Katao. Who was it? Who was it? It's on the tip of my tongue. Somebody help me out in the chat. This is going to annoy the crap out of me. Jeremiah wants to know, do I do Tenru? Thank you, Maz. My God, thank you. Somebody bailed me out. Fuck. Tenru. I was watching the Hogan Tenru. It was quite great. Hogan was like another person in Japan. I think if Hogan really did leave in 93 and go work in Japan full time, he could have made good money. He could have done very well for himself over there. But Jeremiah, yes, I am still doing public relations. And what does a typical day of work for me look like? Very, very hectic on most days. In fact, I got a couple of Zoom calls I got to do in the morning before I could even get back to my podcast work for Sunday. So, you know, it varies. This time of year, it tends to get a little quieter around the holiday. Yeah, like after Thanksgiving, things kind of slow down. But there's not enough hours in the day, put it that way. All the stuff that I want to do, there's simply not enough hours in the day. Burning the candle at both ends here. Sleep is the one thing I love that I don't get to do enough of. Chris Manson finally joined us. He always joins late here in these streams. Chris with the $5. Showed my friend AEW tonight. She loved it. I love seeing reactions from people who don't know much about wrestling. Why don't you show her that Monday Night Raw show? Be a miracle if she doesn't break up with you. Then again, if you subjected me to that for 3 hours, I wouldn't date you anymore either. Yeah, Katao is the one who had the shoot with Earthquake, and Earthquake kind of put him in his place. Earthquake was a legit sumo himself. He wasn't going to take shit from anybody. Dry Chicken. New Japan will be calling Tony Khan to get Dante Martin part of the Best of the Super Juniors. 2023 NBL. Well, why 2023? Why not 2022? Did you just skip an entire year? I think you did. I don't want it. Dante Martin in the Best of the Super Juniors is great and all, but I want Bryan Danielson in the G1 Climax. That's what I want. And I think that's what he probably wants too. Let us hope in 2022 we get an American Dragon in the G1 Climax. Groovy Goose says, how many AEW shows are left in 2021? I think it might be about four or five. Five. Right? Because we're getting Dynamite next week, Rampage next Saturday. The final Dynamite is in Jacksonville at Daly's Place. That's the night Jim Ross hopes to be back. That's the 29th. So, it might be three. Three or four shows left this year. But there's no pay-per-views. No more pay-per-views. The NXT show is it. That's it. There's no more pay-per-views. I've got a bunch of live streams, though, and I'm going to be with you on New Year's Eve, and I hope you'll join me again. We had a blast on New Year's Eve last year. You guys helped me ring in the new year. We're going to do it all over again, December 31st. I think SmackDown that night is a recap show. So there shouldn't be any SmackDown to talk about. If there's Rampage, we'll talk Rampage. But the New Year's Eve show is more just to hang out with you guys and your questions and super chats. Chris is going to have a PBR for me. You have that PBR. I haven't had PBR in about 10 years. It's the cheap shit, right? That's what's so appealing about it. Reminds me of all those dive bars I used to go to. Anyway, thank you guys for joining me. This has been a lot of fun. Fun show tonight, too. I enjoyed it. One of the best AEW matches that the company has ever produced. One of the best Dynamite matches. Maybe the best. Maybe the best Dynamite match they've ever done. I'm sure people will have their opinions on that. I will be back with you on Friday night. We're going to be live talking SmackDown and Rampage. Friday night. So come on back. We got a lot of news to cover. You see some of it down on the bottom on the ticker down there, but we're going to be talking about Kevin Owens. We're going to be talking about Jeff Hardy. We're going to be talking about Ric Flair. I don't want to give him too much of my time, but because I do think these awful takes of his are just to get people talking about anything other than all that Dark Side of the Ring shit. But we're going to talk about what Flair said about Bryan Danielson. We'll talk about Shibata. Katsuyori Shibata returning to the ring for an actual full match at Wrestle Kingdom, which I will also be covering. I know Wrestle Kingdom is coming up in a few weeks, so a lot of good stuff coming up. So until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great week. Winter has come. I will see you back here on Friday night for more live sound off on YouTube. Hit that like button on your way out.
The Sala Monsters sounds off.
It was time for the big steak dinner between Chris Jericho and MJF. And MJF orders himself a 20-ounce porterhouse. Well done. Chris Jericho says, I'll have my steak medium well. MJF changes his to medium. Let me interject here. Everybody knows that the correct way to eat your steak, medium well. And if you want to have ketchup with your steak, there's nothing wrong with that either. Nice medium well steak with some ketchup. There you go.
The Sala Monster sounds off. Each week, bursting with content. Podcasts, predictions, reviews, YouTube live streams, and more. Become a channel member for perks and follow the Sala Monster on Twitter at Sala Monster.
Sala Monster.
Sala Monster. Sala Monster sounds off.